Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE for more information. CTU, training ministry workers since 1982. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these three stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, let me say thank you, thank you, thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issues today. We're talking about an issue that I believe should grip the attention of every conservative, every Christian, every patriot under the sound of my voice. By the way, pick up your telephone, jump on your telephone, send a text message to 10 people in your list of contacts to ask them to tune in, join in the dialogue and discussion each and every day. And while I'm at that thought, let me remind you, this Sunday, the message from the pulpit from the little book of Habakkuk, the minor prophet of Habakkuk, will be in chapter 1, the latter portion of the chapter. We'll be talking about In God We Trust. In God We Trust. Love to have you come. 10:45, the morning worship service. 9:30 is the Bible study hour, where we have the groups of men, the ladies, and the children, where you can join in Bible study discussion groups, and then go into the worship center for the 10:45 worship service. In God We Trust will be the message title for Sunday morning. Look forward to having you join us as our very special guest. If you're tuned in to the radio broadcast and you appreciate what has been said, what we say each day, if it's an inspiration, a blessing, and information for you, we'd love to have you come and visit with us. If you're looking for a church home, we'd love to have you say yes to a membership in our church that we might study the Word together and join in as like believers standing for truth. We need that today more than anything else in our nation. So thank you for joining us on the broadcast. Looking forward to meeting you in person as we worship together. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about our enemies within. We have spiritual enemies. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against wickedness in high places. I'm paraphrasing the text out of Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verse 10 through 13. And we need to recognize that that is the real enemy. But that's behind the enemy's face. We see the enemy, though, in a personal fashion, where we see what's happening in Washington, see what is taking place in our pulpits across America, and across all denominational lines, ladies and gentlemen. Pastors and the people in the pew have been told, you can't talk about politics. Politics are bad. They're evil. They're wicked. They're dirty. Therefore, never confront the deeds of the morals and ethics and values that's put upon us by the society in which we're living in. I'm going to take one more moment, then we'll go back to our telephone lines. But listen, ladies and gentlemen, the government said the Bible and prayer in schools and in churches is not legal. Therefore, what did the churches and the schools do? The schools in particular, the Christian schools in general, some of them did the same thing, said the prayer in the Bible in schools, the church bowed to that. I'm looking at headline, Florida Christian schools fight over pre-game prayer heads to the U.S. Supreme Court. A Tampa Christian school has gone to the U.S. Supreme Court in a battle about whether the Florida High School Athletic Association violated the First Amendment rights when it blocked the school from offering a prayer over the stadium loudspeaker before a 2015 high school football championship game. The school will ask the Supreme Court to overturn a decision last year by the 11th Civil Circuit Court of Appeals that sided with the Athletic Association. The panel, in a 52-page decision issued in September, concluded that announcements over the loudspeaker at the game in 2015 were government speeches, and they were scripted and controlled by the Athletic Association. It said blocking a prayer of the public address system did not violate free speech rights at all. One way that state actors suppress religious speech is by claiming all speech is government speech. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's part and parcel of what I'm talking about as the enemies within. We have the government saying that you can't pray in public. You can't use a public loudspeaker at a football game to have prayer. You can't have a Bible in the classroom. You can't pray. Ladies and gentlemen, there, state after state after state is saying, we're going to put the Bible back in the classroom. President Trump has just announced that he's going to do everything possible for putting prayer back in the public schools. Listen to the headline. Trump says he'll direct the Department of Education to protect praying in public schools. President Donald Trump on Monday said the Department of Education would soon be instituting a new guideline on the right of prayer in public schools. Speaking events in the Museum of the Bible in Washington, Trump said there are grave threats to religious liberty in American schools. For most of our country's history, the Bible was found in every classroom in all the nation. Yet in many schools today, students are instead indoctrinated with anti-religious propaganda, and some are punished for their religious beliefs. Very, very strongly punished, Trump said. It's ridiculous. And he goes on to talk about what he's doing to put prayer back in the public classroom. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that's the right direction. But right now, the point that I'm making is when the government says don't, the churches, the Christians, bow and say yes to government when it's antithetical to the written, revealed Word of God. I go back to the Scripture, Acts 5:29. The 5th chapter, the 29th verse, when the apostles had been beaten and thrown in prison, said you can't preach publicly on the sidewalks. They did. And they were challenged and called back into court, if you will. Didn't we tell you that you can't do that? And Peter's remarks were so candidly correct even for today. We ought to obey God and not government. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what we see taking place today. There's a mindset that the church ought to bow at every whim and wish that the government puts before us. That is simply unconstitutional. That is simply unbiblical, and it ought not to be that. I believe we have Lily on the line. Go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, thank you very much, Dr. Youngblood. Thank you for what you're doing. And thanks God. Thank God for our radio station, The Truth.
Praise Amen. God.
You, every day in your monologue, you talk about truth and the concern, the big concern, what is happening to truth, what has been happening to truth. So that is what I'm going to just highlight. Truth. Our academia has been actively involved in slaughtering truth, and this is the reason we know why Charlie Kirk had to be so brutally silenced. How did we come to this? I'm looking at this where America sat and with eyes wide open and watched Islamic countries in the Middle East and around, and China too, gradually take over our Ivy League institutions.
Yes.
And that way gradually took over academia with their billions of dollars into these institutions. America sat and watched that happen, and that was dangerous because that's where our young people, the minds of our young people, have been captured totally, and truth is in shambles. So God help us at this time. We know the only answer. I just say, why? How would pastors reach the place where you make a division that we're not touching abortion, or we can't touch homosexuality because it's politics? How did we get to such insanity? Abortion, how are you going to separate that from the heart of God? and homosexual agenda. How are we going to separate that from the heart of God and call it politics and leave it alone? So that's where we are today.
Lily, you're exactly right, and you're taking some of the words right out of my mouth as I intended to say them. So let me just reiterate a little bit of what you just said. For example, the government said the LGBTQ sodomite agenda is legal and should be accepted, and the church fully embraced the sodomite lifestyle, even inviting and having homosexual pastors, homosexual deacons into the congregation. The government said abortion is legal, and the church then embraced the rights of an abortionist to say abortion is legal, and therefore not preaching against it, not standing against it in the pulpits. But at the same time, Lily, we see the government said Islamic religion is equal to Christianity. Rick Warren in his church, in Saddleback Church in California, said that Islam and Christianity are simply sister religions. Satan laughs when the church bows and bends to what culture says and to what government says, rather than taking a stand on, thus saith the word of God. I challenge, Lily, I challenge every pastor, preacher, religious leader, if you want to call it that, that's under the sound of my voice and beyond, to grow a spine, simply preach and teach what the word of God says. You ask the question, Lily, how did we get to where we are? I call it the numbers, nickels, and noses. That is, the pastor is concerned about filling the pews, filling the offering plates, and having the life of leisure based on being, quote, a pastor in a local New Testament church. You don't find that aspect any place in the Scripture. You don't find that aspect of that mindset or that thought any place in the New Testament church. In fact, look at the life of the Apostle Paul. Every place he'd go when he'd preach the gospel, he'd get beaten half to death. He'd be shipwrecked. He'd be thrown into the sea. He'd be tried and convicted, on and on and on, that we see. You go to the second chapter, the 11th chapter of 2 Corinthians. The Apostle Paul lists there with grueling details of how he'd been treated simply because he's preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. So to answer your question in general and in specific, it is simply because we get to where we are today because most pastors want the life of leisure. They want to wear a robe of righteousness and stand with the culture rather than standing against the culture, preaching against the culture, and preaching the righteousness of God through the Word of God. Lily, there's some good glimmers of hope. I'm looking at the headline that says, Christian Nome opens the meeting with ICE officers with prayer. She's the head of DHS, and she sat down in, I believe it was in Portland, Oregon, met with all of the brass that's leading the ICE organization and trying to quell the crime that's taking place there. And she said, gentlemen, before we talk, let's pray. She prayed and asked God to give them wisdom. She prayed and asked God to protect the agents. She prayed and asked God to be with them and give them guidance, and closed in Jesus' name. So I'm thankful to see at least the modicum of hope on the horizon with what we see coming out of Trump's leadership and his entire cabinet. But Lily, we recognize where we are, we recognize what the needs are, and it demands Christians stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen. One other statement, what are you about to say?
What I'm pointing out now, as Vera Gwena just pointing out, is right now we're looking at New York getting ready, probably about to vote for a mayor who is not only Marxist, communist, socialist, but Islamic. He's a Muslim, and so you know that is big trouble. It don't make sense for us to say that's New York. They will reap the consequence of the decision they make. It's going to affect the country.
Absolutely. Lily, for the sake of time, let me wrap up the thought for us together. What we see taking place is what I call the rising of Islam, the Islamic's rising. And one of the things that we see, in my most humble opinion, and anyone can call and challenge my opinion if you'd like to, we'll talk about it. I believe it's as a result right now, the reason it's so spiraling, where even the Islamic jihadists are breaking into the PA systems in our airports in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, New York, and Canada, and they're having Islamic rhetoric in Arabic and in English, challenging, condemning President Trump and Benjamin Netanyahu for the peace agreement. As a result of that, what Trump has done, and it was good intention, he's brought in all of the Islamic world, the Arabic Islamic world, the Islamic jihadist world, been brought in under the umbrella and treated with kindness. And as a result of that, the Arab Islamic jihadist world think that today, now, this is the moment to take over America and to stand up, rise up as Islamics and demand control of our nation. The word Islam means submission. And the goal since the 7th century, started by Muhammad, the goal is submission of the world. So the world submits to Allah, the false moon god, under the leadership of the Muslim world today. And that's where we're headed. So it demands our recognition and prayer. I am thankful that we have the possibility, the glimmer of hope, but at the same time, we're witnessing the enemy within standing up to destroy our constitutional republic. Lily, thank you so much, and God bless you as we keep looking up. I believe we have Santiago on the line. Go with the question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, God bless you. What happened is this, we don't want to pay the price like Mr. Charlie Kirk make that price. We don't want to talk to about it. We don't want to say nothing, but we have to be more like Charlie Kirk, you know, to talk about what's going on in this country, about homosexual and all things that they destroyed the society. And that's it. God bless you, Dr. Youngblood.
Santiago, you're exactly right. One of the things we need to recognize is the enemy is within, and the enemy is more than just AOC and Ilhan Omar and others in the House and the Senate. By the way, we're in sad condition as a nation when we allow to be elected and put into office those that are antithetical to the Constitution, those that are against America's constitutional republic, those that stand for other nations, for other entities, for other religions and organizational structures than that of the United States of America. I'm looking at headline, Texas Takeover. 330 mosques, 450,000 Muslims, and growing in political power. Texas is becoming ground zero for a cultural takeover, and no one in power is stopping it. It's this explosive interview that exposes how 450,000 Muslims with over 330 mosques and entire Sharia law compliant neighborhoods are shaping the state of Texas. And I could go on and on and on with it. And then another headline, pro-Hamas cyber attackers blasted an anti-Trump message over the public address system in Pennsylvania's Harrisburg International Airport. The message lasted about 10 minutes, and the airport said the political message did not contain any threats to the airline and or to the passengers or to its employees, but it did include derogatory remarks about Trump and Netanyahu while repeatedly chanting, "Free, free Palestine, free, free Palestine." Police are investigating the incident along with similar breaches in other North American airports. End quote. I believe we have Danny on the line. Danny, go with the question or comment, please.
Yeah, good afternoon, Dr. Youngblood. And listening to your program, this has been a sore spot for me for many, many years. But there's so much to talk about. I'll try to condense it as best I can. First of all, when you have states like Michigan that have allowed these people to come in and not assimilate, but bring their own beliefs with them, and they're already trying to take over to the point that they have mayorships in this state, and the mayors are telling the Christians they need to get out. They're not wanted there. They're even going to get parades when they leave. So they're pushing the Christians out of an American state because of Islam. So then you move to New York, where Mondani is running for mayor. He's going to win the mayorship. There's no question. Because you have, once again, a liberal communist who's promising these young people everything in the world they want for free, and don't worry about it, we're going to let rich people pay for it. You know, it talks in the Bible about how wine looks good in the glass, how it sparkles, but yet beware of the venom that comes from the viper's lips. Well, that's a prime example there. And you're looking at a state that the Jewish population can determine what happens. Yet time and time again, they fold to the Democrats. That is just baffling to me beyond all measure. So, and then you talk about good and evil, and we see that in this country. We see candidates time and time again that the conservatives will just lambast because of their beliefs and what they're preaching and what they're doing, but yet they continue to elect those candidates. This country is so split. We're looking at a war. We're looking at a civil war, and it's not on race. It's not on economics. It's not on any of that. It's on our beliefs, our Christian values. And it's getting to the point where it's dangerous to be a Christian American in this country. And Dr. Youngblood, I've told this to my son for years, and he agrees now more than ever. The only thing that would save Christian conservatives in this country would be for there to be, I'm trying to think, when we withdraw from the Union. And I know people are like, what is she saying? The only thing that's going to save us is Christian conservative withdrawal. And we could just take a small portion of the country, the Southeast region, and let the nutcases have the rest of it. And we could possibly save a portion of the country, although it wouldn't be long before they would be coming in, because they would just ruin themselves. So they'd be coming over to our side. I don't see any way that our country survives this. I don't see it biblically where America stands on this, except for they're going, just look at Israel. They're following the footsteps. It's just idolatry.
Danny, you're exactly right, and you pointed back to it. When you look at the scripture, you find in the scripture, God allowed the people. See, you've got the sovereignty of God on one hand, where God is in control of everything, and on the other hand, you've got the free will of man. God, in all of the book, all of the Old Testament text, he allowed the people to decide who they wanted to govern over them. That's what we find in our Constitution today, and what we have as far as the Bill of Rights. God gives us the responsibility and the authorization and the opportunity to make a decision of who we want to have to rule over us, if you want to use that term. And you find, just as in New York, you talked about the fact that we've got a socialist, Marxist, communist, Islamic mayor candidate. And listen, in New York City, the primaries that put that man in such a high position, the primary voters were made up that put him into position primarily of the college-educated females, the college-educated white females that were the predominance of those that voted for him in the primary. What does that say? It says that they have their college credentials, that out of the Marxist college professors taught them that America's wrong, America's bad, socialism, communism, and Marxism is good, so therefore embrace that. That's what they're doing. And it's as a result of what we've done in the educational system for the past 70 years, allowing the socialist, Marxist, communist leaders to be in the position of the professors in our colleges and universities. This is one of the reasons, Danny, that I praised the president for putting into motion the shutting down, the dismantling of the U.S. Department of Education. Never should have been put in there by mealy-mouthed Jimmy Carter, and as a result of that, we've seen the declension of morals, ethics, and values because of what is done in academia, in the colleges and universities, where our kids are taught immoral, ungodly, unholy preferences, and they come out of the colleges and universities with a piece of paper to put on the wall that's not worth $10 if you look at it from the moral, ethical standpoint. So we need to get back to basics. We need to turn back to the Bible, turn back to the Word of God. And one of the major problems, nothing we can do about it, our founding fathers in the founding documents talked about the true religion. They should have put in there Christianity. But in their minds, it was understood universally that the only true religion was Christianity. And so as a result of that, we've allowed Pandora's box with everybody that comes in with the immoral, ungodly, unholy, so-called religious values, that we're allowing them to be equal with Christianity. This is the reason I find it is somewhat promising, where we have Chip Roy out of Texas, the legislator out of Texas, that's introduced legislation that will make it illegal for anybody in an Islamic background to run for public office, and also those that are leaning toward Sharia law, that is Islamic law, that they will lose their privilege to be in the United States of America. Now, I don't expect it to get much traction, but at least I'm thankful to see somebody bringing to the forefront the facts of what is taking place. So it demands our prayer, it demands our attention, and the recognition that as Christians, conservatives, and patriots, we need to stand up, speak up, and not shut up and be silent if we want to see any salt and light in America that will preserve us as a nation. Danny, thank you so much, brother, for your call, and God bless you as we keep looking up. I believe Don is on the line. Don, go over the question or comment, please.
Hello, Dr. Youngblood. I've been wanting to ask you this question for some time. It's kind of like a two-part question, and to get your feelings or your beliefs on it. And I have been donating for the International Christian of Jews, or International Fellowship of Christians and Jews, as well as a mega church that's located in San Antonio, Texas. And the dilemma I'm having is that after I've been reading, I think it's Ezekiel 3, verse 8, and then also in the beginning of Genesis, it says that God will bless Abraham and his seed. He doesn't talk about seeds as in the lineage, you know, I guess Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac, but it says seed. So that's one part of this, of my dilemma. The second part is, at least 12 times a month, I get packets that is coming from the international, you know, Christian group asking for donations, and the same amount with this other church here in Texas. And it just keeps on weighing on my mind. Should I keep on donating? Because to me, they're wasting a bunch of money in all these mail outs. And it's like, if you're sending me 10 to 12 of them a month, and you're doing this to everybody, that bill must be pretty heavy. So why aren't you using the money that I'm donating and to help the people that you say you are supposed to help?
Don, as a result of our time, as a little boy says, collapsing on us, let me be very quick in answering two basic questions you've asked. When it talks about Abraham and his seed, in fact, it goes back to Galatians, the 3rd chapter, the 16th verse. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made, he saith not, and to the seeds as of many, but as of one, and that thy seed, which is Christ. It was pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. And cutting through the chase very quickly, wherever you're going to church, I pray that it's a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, New Testament church. There's where your tithes and offerings need to go, not to some advertising agency. In fact, most of these organizations that's collecting money for good causes, listen very carefully, most of them, about 90% of those dollars that come in goes to the top layers of the administration and not to the need that they're soliciting your money for. Mega, mega, mega churches are spending mega, 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 mega dollars because when they offer you a book free, offer this, they're simply wanting your email address so they can blast your mailbox with the promulgation of asking for something that's supposed to be for good causes. And in many, many cases, not in all necessarily, but in many, many cases, it's for higher and higher salaries of those that are at the top of the pyramid and leading that organization. I say place your tithes and offerings in a local New Testament church where you're studying the Word, growing in the Word, and the Bible is being proclaimed verse by verse and expository preaching. Don, I'll pray for you, brother, and God bless you for your call. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us on Let's Face the Issues today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as, once again, we face the issues.
Okay, wonderful. You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast on WBOB AM 600 and 101.1 FM.
You're listening to The Truth, 91.7.
We at WTRJ The Truth are happy to tell you about our new